Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail, and this evening at 6 p.m. we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. This Wednesday, we will continue our series of talks in the Catholic faith, and that will be from 6:45 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. in the hall. And as was announced by our Father Superior a few months ago when we decided to do this program, it is primarily for bringing new people, converts, fallen away Catholics, atheists, lukewarm Catholics back to the faith. So I presume none of you fall into that category, right? We encourage you to bring a friend or someone you know so that they see what it's like, so they can learn about the faith. However, this time we have gone through lessons 1 through 8 in the last 3 weeks. We're going to take a break from that syllabus, and this week Father Ward will be giving a talk for the potential converts and Protestants and Catholics on prayer and prayer life. So that's what's happening this Wednesday at 6:45 p.m. And if you think you might benefit from the talk, or you'll profit from it, then we ask you to come. If you don't think it'll do you any good, then that's your conscience. Now, next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. And as you know, we have a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. And then we have solemn benediction at 6 p.m. So that's next Sunday. Mass time is an hour later. And as you know, it's a very important feast and one that is virtually ignored by society and the Catholic Church. And though it is technically on the Novus Ordo calendar, they've moved it to the end of November. It is not even talked about, because why would you talk about Christ the King and honoring your King and being a good subject of the King when you don't want to bring Catholics or bring anyone into the church, bring Catholics back to their faith, that is, fallen away Catholics, or non-Catholics, to honor their King? That's what is proclaimed from Rome these days. Do not convert the Russian Orthodox. Don't do that. It's forbidden. So that's next Sunday, 9 a.m., solemn Mass. Not this week, but the following week. Just to tell you, on Tuesday, November 1st, is All Saints' Day, and that's a holy day of obligation. The Masses are at 9 in the morning and 7 in the evening. Then All Souls' Day, Wednesday, November 2nd, High Requiem Mass at 9, and then a Low Requiem Mass at 7 p.m. We're telling you this so you can plan ahead in case you have conflicts in your schedule. Today is the feast of Saint Anthony Mary Claret. Tomorrow, the great archangel Saint Raphael, who we explained in detail on the feast of Saint Michael, but he was the protector and patron of Tobias in the Old Testament, and the son of Tobias, who had the same name, and helped them in many ways. And that's what your guardian angel will do for you, for you if you ask your guardian angel for help. Friday is the feast of the two apostles, Saints Simon and Jude. We wanted to spend a little bit of time on the feast this Tuesday, October 25th, Saint Isidore the farm laborer. And the reason is because it is one of the six feast days of the year that's proper to the United States. It's celebrated in other countries. But he's celebrated here because, and honored here because of the great farm and agricultural industry here for the last few hundred years. He was born in the 11th century, about the year 1130. And he was a devout young boy and a good Catholic man. He was a very tall man. He was about 6'6". Very big man. Huge for those days. And he was named Saint Isidore, named Isidore after the great Saint Isidore of Seville, who had not lived too much earlier. But he grew up in a rural area, and there were many, many miracles surrounding his life because he just loved God. And God loved him a great deal. There's a story when he was a young man that he was supposed to be watching the sheep in the field. And when he didn't show up to do his job, they didn't see him anywhere. He was reported to the landowner, and he's going to get in trouble. Well, they went out to look at the sheep to see, keep them from wandering, and they found an angel watching the sheep while Isidore was going to Mass. And there's also another story where there are so many miracles surrounding this man, how, and this was as an infant, that this infant fell into a well, and through the intercession of Saint Isidore, because there's no way to, how do you rescue a baby that's gone all the way down, maybe 50, 80 feet down in a well? Through his prayers, miraculously, the water raised in the well, and the baby was floating at the top. And they rescued the baby. Now, some evil historians say these stories are untrue, and there have been cases of exaggerated or made-up stories about saints. But the authenticated ones are true. In fact, the most amazing ones are absolutely true. But he married this woman named Teresa, and they lived the rest of their lives as very good and holy parents. And because of his work, because of his example, he was canonized a saint and became the patron of farmers, laborers, workers of just working with the soil, and common workers, who are really most often better people than sophisticated snobs and the intelligentsia. So we want to just tell you a few things about this man, and that's why he's honored in our country, because he was a farmer and worked with the agricultural world, as I said. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, be imitators of me, and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is ruin. Their God is the belly. Their glory is in their shame. They mind the things of earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion the body of our lowliness, conforming it to the body of his glory by exerting the power by which he is able also to subject all things to himself. So then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast thus in the Lord, beloved. I entreat Evodia, and I exhort Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, behold, a ruler came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now a woman who for 12 years had been suffering from hemorrhage came up behind him and touched the tassel of his cloak, saying to herself, if I touch but his cloak, I shall be saved. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. And the woman was restored to health from that moment. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a din, he said, begone, the girl is asleep, not dead. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this spread throughout all that district. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There were enemies in the church from the very beginning. And here's St. Paul preaching to these people of Philippi through a letter he wrote, is talking about them because they already were trying to undermine his work and the work of Christ. Because he's saying how people that he had taught, that he instructed and preached to, and that were converted to the faith, now were on a path to destruction. Because he says now, and he's even weeping over it, because they've become enemies of Christ. Remember, the path to heaven is a narrow road. It's almost like a tightrope, because it is so easy, especially in our times, to lose one's way, one's faith. Holier people than any of us have ended up as heretics and apart from the faith, such as the father of the church, Tertullian. Early theologian, said many great things about the faith, but then he lost it, became heretical, and he would not change his mind. And he's still called a father of the church because of the good things he wrote. Of course, we don't know what happened at the moment he died, if he converted, but that's why he's not called a saint. What about the rest of us? Have we lost our fervor? Have we become lukewarm and treat the things of God with contempt like worldly things? The collect of this mess reads like this: Absolve your people from their offenses, we beseech thee, O Lord, that through your bountiful goodness we may be delivered from the bonds of sin, which through our frailty we have contracted. The only reason that God has mercy upon us is because of our frailty. Do we embrace our frailty, our weakness, our lack of faith? Meaning, do we realize our state? That's what the saints would do. They would think of themselves as nothing. Because before God, that's what we all are. St. Alphonsus was commenting on the vice of pride and how it's an obstacle to getting to heaven. And he gave examples of a proud man, a proud person. When they are insulted or they are contradicted, they immediately react. Blow up, start an argument. Or if they're not that bad, the person is interiorly upset and angry and wants to strike out at the person who may be teasing them or irritating them or even insulting them to their face in front of others. Not to condone that, what the treatment is. And he said, you know what the holy person does? They look for that. They thank God that someone is treating them with contempt and humiliation. Now, is that difficult to understand? For most of it is. How can we, when we are being insulted in front of others, love that treatment? It's very difficult to understand or comprehend. That's what our Lord would do. And the secret to it, to accomplishing that, is to think, what have I done in my life that has been evil or sinful that I've gotten away with? And nobody knows except God. What about the things that I've done that many people know about that are wrong, but I have not made up for? Because everything that we do wrong has to be made up for, satisfied for. That's just the way the balance of justice is. If we do good works, we get a reward. If we commit sin, we get punished. That's the way it is. That's reality. So the holy person looks for these opportunities and says, God bless you for sending me this little cross. I need to hear that. Now, obviously, it does not mean to condone people abusing you or those you are close to. Sometimes we have to defend ourselves for a principle or the church or a family or whatever the authority is. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when our poor pride is hurt, our feelings are hurt, how we react. So he says, there was this story of a priest giving a sermon. And these enemies of the faith came walking by. This is outside, in someplace in Europe. And one of them, of these bad men, walked right near the priest and spit right in his face. And you know what the priest did? He just wiped it off and kept on going. And there was a non-Catholic in the crowd that saw that and was instantly converted by seeing that. How this man believed and loved what he was saying about Christ so much that this terrible act of sacrilege to a priest did not affect him. Our Lord was spit upon and beaten like an animal. And he did that, he endured that to make up for our sins. So St. Paul is just commenting how these people that he's taught have become enemies of Christ because they mind the things of earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion the body of our lowliness. He's talking about the last resurrection. Because the way our bodies are in this life is a very poor representation of what we're supposed to be and what we will be, God willing, if we reach heaven. So that's why he says to stand fast thus in the Lord. When it comes to the faith and what's right and wrong, don't let people push you around. Don't take any guff from these people that attack your faith or the Blessed Virgin Mary or the Blessed Sacrament. In this beautiful gospel from St. Matthew, we have this ruler, this important man, government official, who needed help desperately because his daughter had just died. So what did he do? He went up to our Lord and he worshiped him. He probably fell down or bowed down before him and worshipped him. He said, Lord, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. This man knew by his faith, whatever reputation our Lord had, he'd heard, but he believed that our Lord could cure his daughter to the point of bringing her back to life. So our Lord, of course, knowing all things and knowing the whole situation and knowing what would happen, he arose and started walking to this important man's home. And you can imagine just seeing the big crowd going with our Lord and the apostles. It was such a big crowd and so tight that this woman who had this hemorrhage for 12 years, she wanted a favor too. Because she was in desperate need of help. And she, trying to reach our Lord, couldn't even touch him. She thought, if I can just touch the tassel of his cloak, I'll be saved, I'll be cured. And that's what she did. And in another gospel, it says that our Lord felt the power going from him. He felt, he was commenting as a man, the divine power leaving his body, because he's both God and man, and curing her. And she was ashamed because she didn't ask, but she just touched him. And our Lord, turning and seeing her, said, "Take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee." Do you see the two important themes, points of this gospel? Faith in Christ, believing everything our Lord teaches, not just believing it, but loving it, protecting it, honoring it. Wanting to know more about what our Lord has taught us. So believe in Christ, faith in him. Because that's what the ruler had. That's what the woman had. That's what we're supposed to have. And then touching our Lord. Someone may say, "Well, I can't do that. He lived 2,000 years ago. That's what vast majority of the world thinks today." Do you know that when our Lord touches you and you touch him in the Holy Eucharist, the host, that's greater than what happened to this dead girl or the woman who had the hemorrhage. It's a greater miracle. Why don't we have the faith of the ruler? Why don't we have the faith of this woman who needed help? Because we're not begging God for help. We're not saying, "Make me humble. Make me lowly. Root out the pride. Tear out the vice that I have, the vices, the bad habits, and really mean it." You know St. Thomas Aquinas, great doctor of the church, he says that if we are not consciously and fervently trying to become holy and more perfect, then we are on our way to hell. Because we cannot stay at a level spot in life, in our spiritual life. It's impossible. Because either we're going to heaven or we're heading straight to hell. Remember, because November's coming up, purgatory is for those who really wanted to get to heaven, but they had some imperfections that what made them not ready. It's not supposed to be a backup plan and say, "Well, I'll just lead a lukewarm life and I'll do a few spiritual things and then maybe I'll get to purgatory." That is a soul heading for hell. Touching our Lord, receiving Holy Communion, that is the most important act that anybody can do in their lives, that any of us can do. Because it can change our lives, one Holy Communion. That's what changed these two people. And it changed many people because it said the word of this spread all over that district, that the dead girl was brought back to life. Receiving the Holy Eucharist can bring a soul from death to life. A soul that has no sanctifying grace goes to the sacrament of penance now is worthy to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, his body and blood. Does it get any better than that? No, it doesn't. That's why you'll do everything to cherish your faith, the doctrines you've learned here, the doctrines you continue to learn, and finally, that you'll make a promise. I want you all to promise that you're not going to assist at Mass on Sundays with mediocrity and distraction, willful distraction. You're going to pray. That's what we're here for, to pray. That's what I'm doing. That's what the priest does. That's what you're supposed to do. A couple of weeks ago, Father Superior said, are the people using their missiles? I said, well, sometimes in the back, and I really don't see very many people using their missiles, especially the children. Because I think, oh, I've already seen that, or I already read it. So who here for 90 minutes or so can be totally without distraction? That's one of the basic reasons in having a missal. So you can follow and you can read a prayer if you're distracted. What I'm going to do is read this prayer. One of my favorite. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you.